Gonna have to score some points tonight.
Daniels lets it go for the first down and plenty more. McCaffrey is short of the touchdown, but the rookie got 30 yards on 4th and 2.
That was the biggest highlight, I would think, of the Luke McCaffrey rookie year. It was week 2 in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Commanders, week 3, Cincinnati, Monday Night Football. We were there on the road, and McCaffrey on a 4th and a couple picks up 30. That was the Jaden Daniels coming out party.
They yes, were it
1-1
was.
And one at that point. He was so good. In fact, I watched a quarterback on Netflix, and one of the revelations watching that show was superstar Joe Burrow.
Oh, my gosh.
Talking about how great he played in that game. And he said something to the effect of, like, sometimes you're perfect. Sometimes you feel like you couldn't have done anything better. And the other guy's just so good that day that he beats you.
I love it.
And that was Joey Burrow. Mount Rushmore, top 4 in the National Football League right now. Every year your team's got a chance to win a Super Bowl because you're that good. Saying that about Washington and Jaden Daniels.
Our guy. The guy that plays quarterback here, Grant. Like, I feel like I'm still in, like, this euphoric state about where the team is, what happened last year. But, yeah, that's a little reminder that we do have a dude, man. We got a dude.
And, not coincidentally, mm-hmm. in that show, he ends up derailing Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. Although Goff, he kind of derailed himself a little bit there,
well, yeah.
too, with his 8,000 turnovers in the playoffs. And then they beat the Atlanta Falcons. That was Kirk Cousins was not starting in that game, but they were here. The Netflix show was featuring him. That was game number 1 of him watching Michael Penix.
Definitely a little awkward for Kirky. A
lot of Jaden Daniels in the quarterback show, even though he was not one of the featured
right.
QBs, as he guided wins against all of those teams. But the question for you guys is, you got 2 pass catchers drafted in the top 100 last year. This was not like late round, let's see if we can find an NFL player picks. This was not Colson Yankoff, I like his film, undrafted free agent, UCLA stuff. Ben Sinnott was a 2nd-round pick. Who people thought, by the way, where they took him was a little bit overdrafted, remember. Luke McCaffrey, similarly, was a just outside of the top 100, 3rd-round pick. And that was one of those where people went, that's a little early.
Yeah.
And neither of them had a big first year. Doesn't mean they can't have strong second years, but we're asking you, who do you like more? Who are you buying stock in? So you go first.
It's tough because I honestly don't have a whole lot of hope for either of the two guys. I just think they're in the exact same situation they were in last year. How much better are they?
You don't think that they have a great chance to play well this year, or you don't
I just think
them long-term? Like, you think they're guys?
I think the jury's still out about long-term. We just haven't seen enough, you know, opportunities for them. And I think, like we were talking about, why didn't Sinnott play? Because of Bates and Ertz. Well, they're back. You know, unless Zach Ertz goes down, and we know the way this team treats their old heads, like he's never going to get hurt. When is Ben Sinnott going to see the field? This is what would show me about Ben Sinnott, because I know you love different personnel groupings. If they go 13 way more than they did last year, that tells you, okay, Sinnott's showing some growth here. If they're comfortable with giving Ertz a series off, which should happen during a game at times because, you know, dudes get tired, then that'll show me, okay, they're comfortable with Sinnott.
Why can't you play Sinnott to that point you're mm-hmm. making on 1st and 2nd down more and trot Ertz out there fresh on 3rd down when it's time for him to go be the guy that gets to the sticks and moves the chains? Like, keep him
fresh.
That's
fresher. True. I like that idea, too. Cliff, if you're listening, I mean, Grant's throwing your nuggets here.
Just keep him fresh.
I agree with that. And
put him on a little bit of a pitch count, a snap count. And we're also talking about this, like, how do they get Sinnott involved? Behind the scenes, they might go, we don't need to get Ben Sinnott.
We're okay. you know? That's the other thing.
That's what we don't know either. Is like, they get to see him every single day. I just assume actions more than words. We love him. Of course they're going to say they love him. What are they doing? What they're doing is not involving him.
I'm going to go with Luke McCaffrey. I think when you consider like the question mark above the receiver room right now with Terry not being there, and by the way, I don't think he shows up for a while. Noah Brown, they're kind of putting in bubble wrap right now because, you know, of the injury he suffered in the spring. Debo, his health is up and down. I think Jalen Lane is going to go through a similar rookie acclimation period at the receiver position like Luke did last year. Mikey absolutely destroyed Jalen Lane today on a screen pass for KJ Osborne. And if they were in pads, it probably would have looked even worse. But, like, he's got to get acclimated to the physicality of the NFL and things of that nature. Luke's going to have an opportunity to be the 3rd wide receiver. Or the 4th wide receiver in play, you know, if Debo's in the backfield, per se, and they go with three wideouts, Luke will be the third behind Noah and Terry.
To me, that's the big thing, is that Debo is not a traditional wide receiver.
Very true, yeah.
So even when he's on the field, Luke still could get opportunities because Debo's in motion,
right.
Decoy and jet action, in the backfield, play action shots, whatever. I'm going to go with Sinnott because I have a hard time believing Ertz will stay healthy for the duration of a second consecutive season.
That's true. Yeah.
At his age. I just think people forget. Like last year we talked about this with Jaden Daniels all preseason. The frame, and is he going to be effective enough, you know, off the field, making all the right decisions with his body to just post week in and week out. And he did. He played every single game, and that's awesome. Although you can make the case he probably should have missed two or three when he had the broken rib. But don't even need to go back through that. I think in the same way we've moved on and just decided, well, Daniels is now durable.
Yeah.
I think we're doing the same thing with Zach Ertz. Ertz missed 10 games in 2023.
Yeah.
He missed 7 games in 2022. He missed 6 games in 2021. He missed, you know, you just go through it, and it's like every year he's
a repeat offender.
A bunch of times. So I just would bet against him playing a full season, and for that reason, Sinnott gets the opportunities. I think his secret sauce, the one thing he does really well, I don't think he's going to, like, runs all that well. He's not overly twitchy. He's the kind of guy, like, I would, as a pitcher, I would say, is never going to blow you away in, like, a bullpen session.
Mm-hmm.
He's not 98. He doesn't have a wipeout slider or anything. He's a gamer out on the mound with some pitchability, right? I think he's an after-the-catch, tackle-breaking, rumbling, stumbling.
It's not sexy. Like,
yeah,
but
the opposite of Zach Ertz.
Right.
Where Ertz is like catch and fall, I think Sinnott makes the catch and like three guys are on the ground and he's got 9 extra yards. And until you make the catches, you just don't get to show that.
The guy was themed up in the NFC Championship game. People sleep on how important that play was. Him
the
on fourth
fake
down.
Punt?
Yes. Huge play. A to not get your number called all year and then you make that play like that, that says something about
lob
you.
Lob ball middle of the field by Trask, and he came down with it.
Come on.
Waiting to get lit up. Let's go to Larry in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Sinnott or McCaffrey, who you buying stock in?
What's up, Larry?
I think I'll go with Sinnott, but I think also, too, you got to look at a guy like Dallas Turner, who was a top pick with the Vikings, who couldn't get on the field because of Van Kinkle and the other guy that they both from the Titans who had phenomenal years. I think Sinnott has the edge because, again, let's not forget, McCaffrey's not been playing wide receiver that long, even though his stock and pedigree from his brother and his father playing, you know, wide receiver, he's played quarterback, so he sees it a little bit different, but he's still adjusting and playing a new position that he's not been playing that long versus Sinnott, been probably playing tight end for 7-8 years.
That's true. It's actually a really good comp, too, on Minnesota, a little bit of a deep cut for people that don't track them. But, yeah, they did draft Dallas Turner to basically in the first round mix there, be like their edge rusher that's going to help them. Then they signed Jonathan Greenard from the Houston Texans, who I think you referenced. They had Van Ginkle come over, who had an awesome season. And so he didn't get a lot of run. Where I'd push back is Washington didn't have a Van Ginkle-Grenard caliber tandem in front of Luke McCaffrey at receiver.
Right.
They were just waiting for someone to play. Because remember, Noah Brown got hurt, too.
Yeah.
Like, there were weeks where it was Alameda Zaccheaus and Jamison Crowder in his third act in Washington as an 816-year-old slot.
Yeah.
Like, they were getting run. And McCaffrey now is not playing at all. So that's different than Van Ginkle, who played at a Pro Bowl level, and Greenard, who's one of the better pass rushers in the league, being in front of you. Let's go to John in Arlington on the Fan. Hey, John.
What's up, John?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Linnell. Two things before I go into Luke or Ben. One, Grant, you need to get the Responsible Father of the Year Award, taking your kids to an empty theater, because there's nothing worse than watching Superman and having it ruined by a 2- and 4-year-old who are out of control and screaming. Linnell, every no is closer to miss right. Now.
That's a good point. Before you move on from Loveline, I will say that anyone who brings like very young children to a grown-up movie so that they can see the grown-up movie they want to see, that's just a bad, selfish decision. If you're not taking a kid to see a kid movie, they shouldn't be there. And if you don't have a babysitter, like, trust me, I just had my fourth. It is a grind. I know how terrible it can be at times and how exhausting it is. But I'm sorry. Then you can't see the movie yet. And you got to wait until you can figure it out another day. But you cannot take young kids to movies that are not made for kids. They're not going to lock in. They're not going to be interested. Yeah. You're setting yourself and everyone up in the theater for disaster. You know this, John.
Yes, and trust me, it took everything in me not to channel my inner Danny Rouillé rant on these people. I'm like, you're in a movie, you're in public. Do not go crazy. But anyway, I think it's going to be Luke, because if you look at Luke last season, the one thing he was amazing at, and a lot of like national media people called it out, was that he could block well. He was such an effective blocker. If he can just turn that switch to precise route running, catching it, a little bit more speed, I think, you know, he can go. With Ben's not bad, but maybe Ertz is still that dude. Like, we look at Ertz as like this older guy, but how many times has Zach Ertz just come through in the clutch? And I don't care what they say against Pittsburgh, that was a first down.
I agree.
And that's my piece.
No doubt. No doubt that was a first down. Ertz was very good last year. I think he was a fringe Pro Bowler.
He was the biggest surprise of the season.
Yeah, so when you say, right, what if he's just, maybe he's really good? Cosign.
Yeah.
Verbal retweet. I don't want to pat myself on the back. I mean, we get more wrong than we get right around these parts, but he was getting killed early last season, and I didn't understand it. People are like, oh, he can't do anything after the catch. No, yeah, exact, this and that. And it's like,
that's not what he's here for.
Do you understand the importance of a veteran who, after every drive, is in Jaden Daniels' ear hole, telling him what he didn't see, what he saw, what he needs to do different, what he might think about doing, or just the reliability of, you're supposed to be here, and guess where you were? Exactly right there.
Yeah.
But it didn't take long into the season before he started putting up numbers. And I still remember NFC Championship game, 16 targets, 11 catches.
Kept throwing it to him.
104 yards.
And the thing about Ertz last year where I think he really, you know, won me over, and this is where like the Noyak Zach stuff doesn't matter. He understands leverage and body angles, his ability to uncover in the red zone and be a target that's going to bring the football in is super underrated. Like the Falcons catch to win the game, like, that ain't no easy play that he made, man. Like, that's a tough catch. It barely has separation, but is able to box out the defender enough just to put his body in position. I want to push back on something John said, too. Luke was, to me, that's where he struggled the most last year, was blocking. I think that's why he wasn't on the field, because the blocking.